systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ. You
know, I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
You ever figure out, I should take this back. I think I figured this out when I was like 4 years old, when I was berated by everyone in my life about how much of a pain in the ass I was. But like, you really realize, like, I'm 46 years old, that like, for those who are intimately involved in my life, like, they have to learn how to manage me. You ever realize that? You ever realize that people in your life, like, you realize that there's fucking rules that apply to you? It's like the episode of, let's go back to the season of The Bear we all like, season one. And there's a great episode with Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays this mother figure who's never on camera, but obviously this toxic individual in the family. You finally get to see this mother in action. And what you realize in this awesome episode of The Bear, which is based around a Christmas dinner, that there's these unwritten rules in the family of how they manage mom. Like, mom's batshit crazy. She's a fucking alcoholic and she's mentally ill, all these things. And you realize, like, the kids and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, like, they have this little intricate dance because they're like, fuck, you know, if we don't do the dance, she's going to do what she always does and it's going to suck. And I've seen this happen before because myself and AJ, we've been lucky enough to be in some interesting spaces, right? We've seen some, let's just say, people who make a lot of zeros. I mean, famous celebrities, whatever the fuck you want to call them. But sometimes it's the same thing. Go ahead, sneeze. Who cares? You know, we've seen how sometimes people need to be managed. Like, hey, this guy's an asshole, but he has a manager who knows how to manage him and can manage the asshole so the asshole can still get on stage and make himself and, you know, everyone else a bunch of money. And I just realized right now, before we're getting ready to do this podcast, AJ said something to me. I go, holy fuck, she's the handler. I'm like, she's the handler that's like, all right, listen, guys, if we don't get this train back on the track, it's going to fucking fall off. It's going to blow up. Hold on. I was just trying to fix the microphone, and I said something out of frustration. And it was like AJ had to swoop in, and she's like, now, don't say that. Let's not say that. And I sat there and I go, well, what's wrong when I say that? And she, well, you're just I'm just trying to make sure that we don't mess up this whole thing for the podcast.
Well, when you get
and
worked
I go, holy
like
shit! I go, I'm the fucking artist now. I'm the artist backstage who's getting. It's like 10 minutes before showtime, and they're like, hey, buddy, I just want you to think about all them people out there, pal. And he's like, well, no, but I think my girlfriend back home is cheating. Hey, pal, you got a house full of people out there that are ready to rock and roll with you. And I feel like it's like, you know, saying we don't care about your authentic feelings and frustration. Shut the fuck up and get out on stage.
Well, that's not at all what I was saying, but okay.
That's all my fucking crazy insecurity. See, you guys think it's all sunshine and roses with me. I'm like 87%, I think, a pretty decent disaster, like most given times. People see a very, and this includes my clients, they see a very refined 13% of my
being.
You
have to stop acting like you're the only one in the world who's a disaster. We are all a disaster in our own right.
All right, thanks for discounting my pain.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, my God.
You like that? This is from the same... What'd you do the other day?
Oh, my God.
This is so funny.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Come on, that was fun. Nope. No. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast, folks.
Jeez.
It's stressful in the house. I don't know how to tell you.
What is stressful? What are you stressed about?
Are you kidding me? See, here's the problem.
No, I mean like today, right now.
I need more clients at work. We got stuff going on in your family on multiple layers. We had a death recently. We're still getting adjusted to some local changes. I have a lot of things, but okay. I feel like people don't fucking care about that. And like you just said, I don't think they do, because as much as in that moment when you say, hey, pal, everyone's got problems, there's a part of me that wants to throw like a cup of water at you. But there's another part of me that says, you know what? She's 100% right. And I think most people who listen to you would probably say, yeah, shut the fuck up. We all got problems, right? Like, I think most people, when you do try to be like, oh, boo-hoo for me, I think most people, and maybe that is the tough Irish side of you, you know, which you acknowledged yesterday in the cutest way. You talked about it was like, I know I have my can-do fucking attitude, but no, I think you're right. People don't give a shit, and I think when you do give out your pain or whatever, they'll go, fuck off. We're all in pain. We're all disaster.
Yeah, that's true. I heard everybody listening to the podcast right now just say, fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, or they'll all say, I mean, you know, I'm thinking of, put it like this, I know for a fact, four people that listen to this podcast, and because I know them all intimately, I know each one of those four actually kind of have some, you know, they got some shit going on in their lives. It ain't all roses for them either. So yeah, I think you're right.
It's interesting that when I say that, you count it as discounting your feelings. And yeah, for me, I'm just trying to make you feel a little more normal.
Isn't that interesting?
Because for me, I need to remember that most people are having a time all the time. Like, very few people have it all together. They are the perfect specimen of human. I need to remember that the person next door to me has their own issues too. And they probably think, wow, it's just me. I'm the only one who's got, you know, a pickup truck full of baggage.
Well, I mean, it's you can only see life. And I said this to my clients, you know, you can only see life through your two eyes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And like, that's the tough part, that when someone says, well, okay, you had a rough day, but everyone had a rough day. You're like, yeah, but this is my rough day.
I tried to think of that the other day. I was driving through the parking lot of my mom's senior living place, and some of the girls who work in the kitchen, and I mean literally, just walked right out in front of my car from behind a tree. Like, they didn't stop. They just walked out in front of my car. And then
the smoking area.
Is that a smoking area?
Yeah, smoking area.
Like, they walk. I know. You figured it out.
I know where AJ parks, and I know they have a little bench and a cigarette tray. So yeah, it's where you go smoke on your break.
I just thought it was odd because I'm like, well, when I walk through a parking lot, I do a left and right. I don't just go and, you know. And then she yelled at me, you know, slow down. And I was at that point in the day about ready to kill somebody. Just you know, it had been that one of those days.
Yeah.
And I bit my tongue and just said, well, maybe she's having a day too.
And also, you can't.
But also, maybe look left and right when you walk out into a parking lot.
It's also hard to beef with the people.
Well, exactly. I wasn't going to beef with her.
That are caretaking, you know, for your mother. Which, by the way, don't worry. I mean, exactly like AJ says, we're all kind of weirdos, but I feel like maybe I've had more my own moments. I have yelled at, unfortunately, many a people throughout my mother's 5-year, dance through to all types of fucking senior independent living homes and assisted living and memory ward and hospice. Unfortunately, people along the way caught my wrath, right? And you never felt good. At least I never did, because I go, fuck, that's the nurse. She could really kill my mom. And those are like the food ladies, right? Yeah. And, you know, like, they could like slip some ground. See, I'm going to like prison rules. You don't piss off the prison kitchen staff because they put like ground up glass in your applesauce.
But seriously, who crosses and who walks through a parking lot without looking left and right?
I get it. No, but yeah, I mean, so yeah, what's our point?
I was going 8 miles an hour. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So what's...
But again, I held back and thought, well, she's at the end of a stressful day too. So let it go.
Making fucking minimum wage, making food for a bunch of boomers at a pension.
I wasn't about to. I didn't. It never crossed my mind to yell at her.
Yeah.
But it crossed my mind to like cuss under my breath, and I decided not to.
That has to be the closest thing to reimagining what 1800s level slavery was like when they're like, what are you? I'm a Gen Alpha, and what do? I make minimum wage making food for a bunch of boomers that have pensions. You're like, holy shit, man. They make you dance, too, when you're out there?
So you know what the interesting thing is? And this is the first time I think I've heard one of them say it. When I was at the airport going to Flint from Mesa, and we've discussed this, the plane was...
It was all snowbirds.
It was all snowbirds. I was the youngest person on the plane.
Yeah.
And they were all complaining about everything, and our flight was delayed. But regardless, I was listening to two of them talk right behind me. And one of them finally said, Well, we have it a lot better than the younger generations. Yeah. They can barely afford to live now. They won't be able to retire like us.
No.
And it was just so comforting to see a boomer be just acknowledge
Thank
it.
You, boomer.
Like, you can't do anything to change it now. It's over.
Oh, it's fucking done. It's the game's done. Rigged.
But at least acknowledge it.
Yeah, it is.
Acknowledge the privilege.
It did kind of suck. Me and you, you know, we talk about this. We're Zennials, right? So we're kind of smushed between the Gen Xers and Millennials. Me more the Gen X side, AJ more the Millennial side. But we kind of fell into this little weird pocket where you would get looked upon by your elders as shut the fuck up and just get a better job.
Yes.
And
bootstraps.
Bootstraps. And then, you know, by the end of the Millennials run into the Gen Zers, you know, the Millennials who become the next elder generation, they go, no, man, this game is fixed. And they look at the Gen Zers. They go, yeah, bro, it's fucking totally fixed. And the Gen Zers look at the Gen Alphas like, fuck it, bro. Don't even bother starting
the game. Don't even bother.
Don't even bother with the game. So, well, I'm good. I'm glad. Good for them.
That was one person.
Tell them to give me one of their pensions. Can I have one of them?
Just one.
Can I have one?
And now, again, the snowbirds going back to Flint.
They're going to their other houses.
Those are GM pensions.
We've got a fucking homeless problem in this country. And there are people that travel from one house to the other house. Do you know why? Because they don't want to get fucking cold. That's why. They're like, listen, I don't want to be too cold. I don't want to be too hot. So I'm going to own two houses.
Both of them have heat and AC, by the way.
Fuck out of here. This is why they say we're headed toward a downfall. Yeah. Like, I think so, man. The best times are behind us, I think. I hope not. I mean, I think about this with my son. There's, you know, obviously, like you said, there's downfalls. And like you said, the boomers realizing, boy, the Gen Zers, I don't even know how they're going to make a go of it, right? And one of the things that I've heard kicked around, they said, this is how to tell if you grew up in the before times, right? Do you remember the days of $500 or less monthly rents? Did you ever pay less than $500 a month
with
for rent?
With or without roommates.
Did you pay $500 or less a month in rent?
With roommates, yes. Yeah, by there myself, you go. No.
Okay, that's not even, and that's why I noticed I said just answer the question, don't get into the fucking nitty gritty. Okay. Because that's not even a reality with roommates.
I know.
If you get now you want to get an apartment, they're going to hit you for $2,000. Split that between two people.
Yeah.
That's $1,000. Split it between three. It's still, I mean, we're looking at like what, $700?
$700 something bucks.
So
yeah.
That's kind of, they said now the new dividing line, if you remember the olden days, is do you remember a time when you were young and scrappy and living with a bunch of people, and this guy included did it, could you get by with a less than $500 a month rent payment?
Yeah.
And those really were the before times, because now it's just, unfortunately, whatever's going on with housing. And like, I'm not trying to get too existential with it, but it is fucking weird when we have some folks who, because of one economic system they were raised under, have literal multiple homes.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying this in a hoity-toity way. I'm not saying this in like, remember, who was it? Arizona's old Johnny Mac? Man. Johnny Mac, you made a few missteps. And the one I remember was when he...
Who's Johnny Mac?
John McCain.
Oh, jeez.
John McCain, like, he forgot...
We don't all have nicknames for politicians.
John McCain,
that.
At one point when he was running for president in 08, because he was really kind of casted as, like, out of the two guys, well, he's kind of the rich guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, he forgot about a house that he owned.
Oh, my God.
Like, he was being asked by a reporter about something, and then he's like, what are you talking about? They go, oh, well, the home you own here. And he goes... Oh, yeah.
Oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
But the people we're talking about, like you said, those are GM pensions. These are people who went to work one day, and they didn't leave for 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
And because of this, they were able to have a home in, I don't know, Macomb County, Genesee County. And then they're able to have maybe a condo out here in Tempe. Who knows? Maybe they got a little cabin up north somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about like fucking rich people who are forgetting how many houses
these are
they
still,
own.
Still, you know, solid middle class. And trust me,
those are normal folks that were able to do that shit. So it is possible. Don't let them fucking tell you to these new kids, hey guys, you just got to work harder. No, fuck you.
You know what?
We figured out a way to make this for everyone before.
You worked very hard and got a pension or two.
Damn right.
People nowadays are working just as hard for a paycheck. Nothing. That goes to the next paycheck. Then with no pension, none of that stuff. It is rigged against us. No, I think that's the thing we have to remember. Stop telling people they're not working hard enough. People are working their asses off. You worked your ass off back in your day. People nowadays are working their asses off. Don't. Just admit that the situations, the systems are now different, and we will not see the kind of prosperity you're getting to see.
No, you're never. And listen, I don't mean to harp on this point, but I think it's always good to worth remembering, especially for our Michigan friends and family, because you really are in the shadow of what was one of our country's greatest economic engines ever.
We're jealous, just so you know.
Oh, absolutely, Jeez. Right?
But I just did a story at work on what middle class is considered in each state.
No shit.
And the range is insane. We're talking in some states between $39,000 a year and $160,000.
That's like what, between like Alabama and like New York State, right?
I mean in one state.
Oh, in one state?
In one state, the range is between $39,000 and that's like one of the states in the South.
Sure.
But still.
I guess. Trust me. I don't think anyone's getting a cost of living at $39,000 a year out here.
That is a huge gap. Like, it is just crazy nowadays.
We had that system set up and it worked really well. And of course, we got to bring up the obvious. It was post-World War II.
Yeah.
Most of the developed world was bombed to bejesus. And they were
different time.
They were rebuilding, right? So we were kind of like, at that point in time, if we can break it down to street terms, we were the only dude on the block selling that good, good product, whatever it may be. There was no one else to compete with. So I understand where it was easier for us back in the day to set up that system. But, you know, whatever they're trying to cook up now, this new bullshit about we're going to bring these manufacturing jobs back, which, by the way, no, they're not. No, I mean, that's just, guys,
that's not happening.
That ship has sailed. And by manufacturing, I do mean this. Pretty clothes.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, just sewing clothes. I mean, these are the kind of gigs they're trying to say, hey, guys, trust me, when we open up a new Nike store in fucking Youngstown, Ohio, and then
one of the politicians actually said that like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
It's probably not, you know, too hard to figure out.
Sure.
Said something like that about these fictitious jobs they want to bring back.
Yeah.
And like manufacturing jobs. Mm-hmm. Like they want you to be able to go work there. And then your kids and their grandkids.
So we want to bring it back to the old coal mine. Remember when they, like the coal miners, they would get you to come live on the coal mine property and then you and your family got paid in coal mine bucks and you spend it at the coal mine store.
Well, that's my other thing about all these jobs they keep talking about. I'm like, cool, are you offering pensions? Are you offering health insurance?
There has to be an infrastructure,
right?
Or
are you telling me this is just an hour-to-hour job? Because it's not the fucking same thing.
You know why? Because the guys that I know and the gals that I know who still work on the line for GM, and I know them, and you're working hard, right? And you're standing up for your rights. They're putting the door on the car. But like you said, there's a pension involved.
Yeah.
There's health care involved.
You're not going to get Americans to do those jobs for $10 an hour. You're not. You have to give them more. And that's not a lot to ask. I don't understand why in this country we become so complacent with billionaires treating their workers like shit and making excuses for them. Like, stop it. It's not right.
And that's the fucked up part. And me and you have always said this, and some of our smartest minds say the same thing, is that once you, and whoever you are, I'm talking to you, once you figure out that it's not left or right, it's not red and blue, that it's rich versus poor.
That's all this is.
Right?
This is not even politics anymore. This is rich versus poor.
And then when you get into rich versus poor, I think you can take rich people and you can kind of chop them up into two main groups, right? And I'm being very generalistic here, but for this argument, I think it works. If you take the folks in the rich versus poor, take the rich, split them into two, there's two basic groups. One that go, hey, it's pretty great being rich. I want to help other people.
Yes, and there are rich people like that.
And then there's the other half who are the protectionists. And they go, I don't want anyone to take my riches, so I need to keep the poor people way far away from it, right? Like, it's our club, not your club.
Yeah.
But, like, once everyone figures out that it ain't about, you know, we can talk rural versus city, we can talk South versus North, we can talk Cubs versus White Sox. But when it comes down to it, it's two different fucking classes being played here.
And it's just like, you know, they've had this problem in Asia forever. And now, you've probably heard they're talking about it here. People are not having enough children.
No babies.
To keep the economy going. And it's not just here. This is a worldwide problem. And now they're talking about paying people. The rich people are talking talking about paying us plebes to have children.
They've already, they need workers.
That's what it is.
They need fucking workers.
To keep the economy going. That's what they mean. They don't care about your family system going to Disney World and shit. They don't care about that.
They say
to keep the economy going.
Do you think any one of Elon Musk's 51 kids around the world are going to grow up to work in a manufacturing plant?
No.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, they want us to have more kids so that our kids can work. But here's a one-time payment have children. Except for the rest of your life, we're going to give you an hourly minimum wage and see if you can survive on that. But just have the kids. That's all we want you to do.
One, I appreciate you getting us to this point in the podcast. And I do. I feel much better. Thank you for letting me talk through my feelings.
Absolutely.
See, I was a little frustrated in the beginning. I felt caged in and boxed.
No, now I see you have chilled out. I've chilled out.
But you brought us to a great point that we actually wanted to talk about with babies, and we're going to get to that. But because you are part of the lamestream news media,
I am.
I would like you to clarify something, because I these days am trying to take the Bill Burr approach, where we're not. I don't really watch and I don't listen and I don't read. I read minimally, but I am aware. And that's the fun part about not being involved. That when things do bubble up to the top, it means they really meant something.
Yeah.
This $5,000 payment, which has become, you know, like a late night punchline joke now.
Yeah, isn't this the second time they've said they were going to pay Americans $5,000 for something?
So yeah, right. They're always somewhat going to pass.
That's a great number, isn't it?
So you're in on the news. Can you tell me what that is? Is this another one of these, like one politician said, oh, we're kicking around ideas. Did this come from the Oval Office? Did this come from a think tank? Where did this idea that Americans are going to get $5,000 to have a kid come from?
I can't tell you.
There you go.
I don't know the details of the story that deep.
It's a fucking Twitter post is what it is.
Well, it's not just a Twitter post.
But I mean, honestly, that's what I'm, because I heard this argument and it spawned a lot of really good conversation about the declining birth rate, but also about kind of the economics of it. And it is just like we've been kind of alluding to the last 20 minutes, talking about where you are in life, different ages. And,
here it is. I got it, by the way.
The cash that you're making. What's prohibiting you from having kids?
President Trump.
Okay, so from Trump.
Said at the White House at an event when asked about the possibility of a federal baby bonus, as in $5,000 payments, he said, sounds like a good idea to me. That's where it started.
So this is him agreeing. All right, so this is bullshit.
This is him bloviating,
this is
yes.
a reporter. This is like the new hustle they have, because they have this new media room where they have a bunch of kids that play GTA, and then they allow them to interview in the White House, right? So they have the new blogger room.
Excuse me, a lot of those journalists are very, that's Jesus. Offensive. How dare you?
Whatever that new media room is, what are you talking? There's like stand-up comics in there.
Well,
it's crazy.
It's just crazy,
this
all
is
of it.
This is the new thing. What they do is they toss up something like that, and then, you know, the orange man or his people just have to go, yeah, it sounds good. So they're not actually proposing it. It's someone in the room going, hey, I heard an idea. We should say the Pledge of Allegiance before every professional wrestling match. What do you guys think about that? And then he looks back and goes, yeah, it sounds pretty good. And yes, then it becomes the headline, must say Pledge of Allegiance before every wrestling match.
Do you know
match.
Why it becomes a headline, though?
Why is that?
Because the Orange Man has had a tendency to follow through on a lot of these like side ridiculous ideas, like renaming the Gulf of Mexico.
It does seem like he has followed through with a lot of that shit lately,
yeah,
right?
Whether you agree with it or not, a lot of it's fucking crazy stuff, you guys. A lot of it is just ridiculous, crazy stuff.
You know,
that's why it makes a headline, because he has a tendency to do it.
Do you know what the weird part about that is, too? And this is going to lead us to something
real.
By
the way, $5,000 won't cover your hospital bill.
I was going to say,
they won't even let you leave the hospital with your baby with a $5,000 check.
This really shows the real divide. And I forgot, this happens all the time with some of these people, usually during election season, because we have more access to them. But if you've ever wondered that divide I just talked about by rich versus poor, this is it. Because rich people don't even know
how much it costs to have a baby.
Right? I mean, that was kind of like the joke when, you know, like, what is it? When he bought the Tesla or like what? Oh, a good car.
Buy a Tesla. You're like, you're joking,
yeah,
right?
They just don't
they're
know.
Disconnected they're disconnected from reality.
They're just like I said about Johnny Mac forgetting about his houses. Like, you're just at a different level.
Yeah.
So I don't think they even realize what it actually takes to have a baby. I can tell you for a fact that our radio career, as far as the Pat and AJ Morning Show, was pretty close to never happening, because we could not find nor afford daycare for our child.
Yeah.
We were a young couple who found a job in an industry where we worked together very early morning hours in very small towns with not a lot of, I guess, I don't know.
Not a lot of daycare is open services? At 5 a.m. Yes. Yeah.
And me and you literally at times had to go, I don't know if we can do this job because yeah. we can't even find someone to watch our child. And by the way, when we do, we have to pay them so much.
Yeah.
That me and you, I mean, oh boy, there were some pretty lean weeks back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, to be honest, myself and AJ always said the best part of the pandemic, yes, we did just say the best part, was the fact that we got a $2,000 a month raise because we had to stop paying daycare when they sent us home.
We were still paying daycare when our son was almost 15 years old. Because he could not yet drive himself
younger
to school.
Younger than that. He was in middle school. I mean, 15. I mean, the pandemic hit when he was in
That's
what?
2020. He was 14, 15
he
years old.
He was 14. So, I mean, 14. So, like, up, I mean, he, you know, up until he was 13, middle school. Yeah, me and you, we were at work every day at, you know, 5:30 in the morning.
We needed somebody to take him to school. That was, so we, theoretically, we could have still been paying now if our work schedules
Holy
weren't
shit.
As flexible.
That's true.
There are people who have to, and the word daycare, you use it loosely.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking
but
about.
That's the reality, yeah.
Yeah.
When let me just say, though, the people that did watch him
yes.
and help us with him
mm-hmm.
were absolute saints.
For the most part.
In our life, for the yeah. most part. We had a couple of weirdos.
We had like one or two. You're like, yeah,
we had to put the kibosh yeah. on
I mean,
that.
Put it like this. I've never felt more empathy for a hiring manager than when I had to get into the world of interviewing and hiring and firing daycare providers.
Yeah.
And I go, man, this HR world is for the fucking birds. So I don't know if $5,000, I mean, don't get no. me wrong, five G's, buy some Pampers, but I'm not quite sure that's enough of an incentive to have someone make a baby, right? So babies, what happens if you can't make one? I mean, you did bring up one thing where you said, you know, the rich folks, they want us poor folks to have more babies.
But so, they specifically so, say so we to can keep service the economy them. Going. Yeah, they'll keep say the economy it. They're not. Going. It's they're saying the quiet part out loud.
But the rich people have also, we've noticed this phenomenon. If you haven't noticed, a lot of the richer folks, ladies, have babies. And in that sense, their eggs are inseminated with their partner's sperm and then brought to term, not in their own body, but they can find themselves.
It's an out-of-body experience.
And these are all, I mean, name your favorite female celebrity. AJ does this all the time. Whenever a female celebrity talks about being a new mom, and then AJ will always bring up, like, she didn't actually, you know, carry that kid to term, right?
Who are you talking about?
I mean, I think it was Kristen, who's it? Kristen Wiig's one of them.
Kristen Wiig. I had no idea that was a thing.
Kardashian.
There's always rumors that they're not, well, Beyonce.
I mean, a lot
Beyonce's
of them talk
fake,
about it openly.
Listen, Beyonce's oh, fake stomach up. Was
Fine.
Really weird.
Fine. Let's even
Other
say.
Other than that, I can't think of anything off
But
the
I mean, that's like a new thing, too. They have surrogates, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, people
and
go.
It's fine to have a surrogate. Just maybe don't fake that you're pregnant, you know?
But listen, I mean, people with children, we have a variety of ways to do it. But for some folks, win, lose, or draw, it is tough. And that is when you hear about these words, adoption. As a child, I always had this image, and maybe it's because I was raised by a bunch of old Catholics, that there was an orphanage somewhere
Same. Yeah.
with just overflowing amounts of babies and kids where you could show up and just be like, let me get two from the back.
Same, exactly. I literally didn't grow up with anybody that was adopted.
None.
Not one single person. I can't think of not Listen. One. I knew one later on in life who did find his birth parents. But as a child,
as
nobody
a child.
I knew was adopted. No.
Right. I mean, we talked about it. I heard him in church all the time. Pray for the orphans and yeah. let's throw a few bucks to the
thing,
orphans.
Though, I thought there was a big orphanage. Yeah. Like it was like Annie, you know?
Yeah, yes, Annie. Thank you. Yes. There's a bunch of kids singing songs.
Yeah.
With a shitty headmistress. Like,
where's the big orphanage in the middle of the inner city? Where are all the children who can be adopted?
And like, I grew up with a bunch of like, you know, European and Mexican immigrants. So there was no problem having kids. These yeah. motherfuckers had too many kids. They lost kids, all right? But what happens when you know, you can't have a child and maybe you don't have all the money to have a fun little surrogate. Adoption is something we hear about a lot. I'll say the loudest adoption crowd is honestly the pro-life crowd.
Yes.
The pro-life, anti-abortion crowd for years, you know, because again, I was raised under the Catholic dome.
And I was raised, yes, Christian conservative.
Very Christian,
yes.
Right? Like they would just scream like, oh my God, don't abort babies. You can have them adopted. You can have them adopted. Adoption, adoption, adoption. So adoption, like I always feel, is this word that's out there. But like you said, you don't run into a lot of people that maybe don't knowingly tell you they're adopted.
Or, you know, a lot of people who scream adoption know nothing about the process.
It. Yeah, that's the weird part, because now me and you, we, through our travels, like you said, and I'm pretty sure I know the person you're referencing, you yes. know one person who can say they were adopted, but we know one couple in our life who are contemporaries of ours or friends of ours who adopted, who literally did this, who said, hey, we are married. For whatever reason, we're not going to have a child the old-fashioned way, so we're going to go adoption.
And it was mind-blowing. I mean, Do you remember the day they made the Facebook post that said, hey, welcome so-and-so to the world? And I said, wait a second. What? Wait, you're not pregnant? What? I don't understand. Yeah. Like, it was just so foreign to me. And I was like, holy shit. They literally went and adopted, like, in the quietest fashion, because you have to. But yeah, I mean, it was like, it was crazy to me. That was my first, like, real exposure to
it. Yeah, that was the only one that we saw happen. I know when we were in...
And they are the happiest family in the world.
I was about to say, yeah, right now that...
They're the greatest people.
That baby is somewhere around double digits, I think, close to, and watching, you know, wrestling and playing baseball. So he's having a great life. And,
luckily,
you know,
the people we know in our lives who have explored adoption are some of the best people we know.
And then I think of, like, another case that we knew some great folks in central Wisconsin who really later in life adopted a child, and it was kind of a really interesting, fun gender flip, where in the marriage the man was already at a point where he was professionally retired, and the woman, though a little bit younger, was still working.
Yeah.
So when they adopted this little boy, it was kind of the flip of dad stayed home and like did dad shit all day with this little boy. It was like the ultimate, like, you know, old man stays at home and we play trucks and cars and all that shit all day long. So, you know, we've seen some beautiful examples of adoption. But yeah, like I said, where's the Annie shop? Where do you show up? Because I've heard some stories out there. I recently heard our former transportation secretary, probably running for president in a couple of years, Pete Buttigieg, from South Bend, Indiana.
Who I have had the honor of interviewing,
did you
by the way.
Do people still call him Mayor Pete? Because he's been Mayor Pete, but then he became, you know, secretary.
No, he told me to call him Pete.
Just Pete. Okay. Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah, I saw Pete recently on a podcast. He was on the Andrew Schultz podcast, and they talked about the adoption, because him and his husband, they adopted, and they really got into, like, some of the...
Nitty-gritty.
Well, because it was, to be honest, it was a bunch of, like, really straight kind of bros in the room who were so all ears to kind of hear about
this process.
They're like, dude, tell us about this, bro.
This process, if you have not gone through it, and I'm saying this as somebody who hasn't gone through it is fascinating to me. Like, I am so curious, because again, where's the orphanage? That's how we grew up.
In
my head, there's still an orphanage, an Annie orphanage somewhere. So this whole process, like, I want to hear about it, because it is so wild.
Well, it was really interesting, because I know, like, and I'll kind of go through the things that I think I know, not claiming them as fact, but I know there's what they call what? Open and closed.
Yes.
Right? And that basically means open is where there is some sort of flow of information. I don't know. Maybe that is the proverbial 15-year-old who gets pregnant and decides to adopt the baby, but still maybe wants to.
If you've watched Teen Mom.
I was going to say, it sounds like, I don't want to quote Teen Mom, but I'm like.
Tyler and Caitlin, that's a huge. They were one of the original couples, and we watched them on the show, and I've just recently started to follow what's been happening with their open, and I'm pretty sure now closed adoption.
Tyler is 49 years old now. He's 49
so
years old.
He's so cute.
Still old as a 49-year-old.
But, like, seriously, watching that go from, like, open to closed is, I'm mesmerized by it.
And, you know, then there were experiences like the couple we talked about who literally just kept it really quiet and showed up with a baby one day. They told us the reason why they did that, not because they were trying to go viral and just be the couple who comes home with a baby. They said the kind of adoption they were under, there was still an option for the mother
to keep the baby.
To keep, like, when it officially comes out, even though that mother has said, hey, this is what I want to do, there's an option until you officially hand the baby over for that mother to go, you know what, on second thought, I'm going to keep it. So they said in their case, they said, listen, and they're a pretty analytical couple. They're like, not until those I's and T's were all dotted and crossed were they going to say anything. So in their case, that was their adoption. But again, I don't know. We know someone else whose parents just went to Poland and picked up a baby.
Yes.
So I know nothing about it except for the fact that apparently now someone in our family is going to be doing this process.
I'm so excited for them. Oh my God. Like I said, some of the best people we know have adopted. And I mean that when I make a list, I'm like, these are the best people we know.
Yeah.
And this couple is no different. And I am so excited for them.
But yeah, so like you came to me and said, hey, you'll never guess. We have some family members and we'll be getting way more into this. They're doing some crowdfunding for these efforts because apparently, too, this is not cheap. Again, blowing the image that we had of the Annie orphanage.
That you can just walk in and adopt? No, you can't.
Or where's the orphanage that Mr. Drummond found the two little black boys, Arnold and his older brother on Different Strokes. Remember that? He just showed up somewhere. He goes, look, I'm an old rich man from Fifth Avenue. Old rich white guy. Yeah, it was weird they let him adopt two young black boys.
Now,
but you know, I mean, to be where's fair, that place?
We're talking about human beings, so it shouldn't be an easy process to adopt.
That is true. However, we should not just hand them out.
No, but I'm also, I think it's crazy how much the process costs as well. Like, I had no idea it costs this much. It is not as simple as saying, why don't you just adopt? Really think before you say that to anybody, whether it's a pro-life argument, whether you're saying that to a couple who's having trouble having a kid. Don't just say, well, why don't you just adopt? Because it is way more complicated than that.
So, I mean, I've heard what? A lot of it is obviously covering medical expenses, right? Going back to this original argument of the government wanting to give you a $5,000 baby bonus. I know a lot of those usually off the bat, hey, you're going to have to pay a fee because I feel like you're doing everything to justify the funds so it doesn't look like you're buying a baby.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like this is going to sound terrible. It's kind of like when you go to a humane society, you're not buying the dog,
no,
but you're adopting the dog, but they do make you put up some money. And whether that's to show that you're legit or did legitimately, and usually the humane society's case, they have to cover cost. So is this kind of the same thing, I would assume?
So what I'm learning about this, because we did start the crowdfunding platform for them because we wanted to help.
Yeah, sure.
The cost of adopting a child, aside from, like you said, you're not buying the child.
Yeah, you're not buying. There's just fees and costs. There's a tariff, maybe. I don't know if it comes from China now. Is the baby subject to 145% tariff?
I have no idea. But you know what? I wouldn't put it past you. I could see it actually happening. But
we don't want any more Canadian babies.
You have to pay for the person who helps you with the adoption.
Oh, the middleman.
Yes.
The agent, right?
The baby brokers.
The baby.
I thought it was a cute name.
That's a great name.
Home study fees.
Yeah.
These people come to your house,
okay,
and basically watch everything you do to make sure you are a fit parent.
All right, I got you.
Because the people we are helping raise money for already have a child they had through what's it called, IVF. So they're hold
on. I do like that you can have a child naturally. No one checks on you.
Right?
You want to adopt one? We're like, right? Hold on. We got to make sure that you're responsible enough.
Maybe we should
let any asshole get pregnant.
We should probably do that for everybody, actually. A lot of us wouldn't have kids.
But that makes sense. Again, you want things on the up and up. We have to make sure we're not traumatizing children.
Yes.
We're getting them into the correct home.
Legal expenses. We all know
lawyers
just in
and
general,
bullshit.
Legal expenses are pricey, whether you're talking about adoption or not.
Yeah. Or a misdemeanor. Felony, really, is when you're getting into the double, triple digits.
Agency fees. Travel costs, if needed.
Oh, that's like when they're coming around the
our
world.
Our friends who drove from Michigan to Arkansas, to adopt this baby. Counseling and support services.
Yeah, you're going to need some of that.
Especially because they are already a family unit and they'd be bringing another child into it. I mean, that's hard whether you have it or you adopt it. But that's where a lot of this money has to go.
Okay.
And it is just
hold on. So you're saying I can get involved in his hustle as a therapist now. Somewhere. somewhere along the way.
But that's the thing. See, I think actually...
Now, hold on. I'm sorry. Process. I can get involved.
I think your role, a counselor's role in this process is one of the most important, actually.
Yeah, I think probably, I mean, just in my mind.
But you do have to get paid for doing your job as well.
You have to get compensated. Yeah, I feel like probably more so in the case of complex, and by complex, I mean if the child is older. I know in their case, they're talking about probably a baby or very close to out the oven. I feel like there's probably more therapy needed if you're taking, like, you know, we did a lot of work. And actually what inspired me to do what I'm doing today as a social worker was from our work with the Whaley Children's Center in Michigan, right? And those kids who are getting adopted out, there ain't a baby in the place, right? But there are kids who are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And I could see in those situations, you're probably going to need some long-term therapy. Maybe if you're a family who already has siblings of a certain age. Now, this family that you're talking about is pretty nuclear. It's mom, dad, and they have a little one. So I guess, yeah, the therapy would be good. Maybe for the family to kind of introduce the little one to the concept.
Yes, because the little one is clearly not going to understand. Yeah. Well, why is there a baby here, but mom wasn't pregnant? That's a big conversation to have with a 5-year-old.
But it is better than like one at a 12-year-old. Cause like a 12-year-old can be an asshole and look at you and be like, you don't need another baby.
Right.
Mom.
Yeah. They have strong opinions.
You can't even afford what I want. I want these $7,000 sneakers. And you won't buy them for me.
A 5 or 6-year-old will just ask like the most basic questions.
Like, I feel like, yeah, it'll be like okay.
Blue's Clues questions.
It'll be like, oh, so the stork is bringing it? Like, yeah, fucking stork is going to bring it. But there is money involved. And like you said, yes, I know it's not a racket. I'm just fucking around. But you're right. People do have to be compensated for their time unless they are billionaire philanthropists. So people along the way, I'm sure whether it's the broker or the therapist or, you know, the medical doctor who's going to be involved in delivering this baby, all need to obviously have their time compensated for it. But like you said, that gets costly, and all these folks who scream adopt, 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 or the government that screams have a baby, have a baby, have a baby, don't seem to really understand the full financial extent that is involved. Because I say this in the nicest way possible. This is what's the
Our
dog?
Dog's for? About to go after something. Okay. He's being salty.
This is not a family. Not that I think, and this is terrible, but it's also probably true. I don't think they would let a family who is in a lower socioeconomic zone adopt a child, right?
No,
they'd probably say, you know,
can't afford it.
You got to level up. This family we're talking about
is in a great spot.
They're in a good spot. They've worked hard in their life. They're educated. And even they are going, dude, this thing is a burden on us.
Yes.
And I say, hold on. If it's a burden for those of us who are kind of clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
How do they expect when they stand out there with their signs and go, you know, adopt, adopt. Who the fuck is paying for all this, man?
And I also know how much their IVF journey cost them have now. And that is, like, they had to dip in deep.
Like retirement cash and stuff. Yeah,
to make that happen. And... you know, it's just, it's a better decision for them now to adopt, but it is not cheaper either.
They use that, man. They use that too to fucking lure people for a vote. Remember that during the elections, Trump was like, yeah, IVF. Yeah, fuck it. We're going to pay for that. Yeah. You know, like, man, something about babies. What is it about babies? Like that'll get people's ears.
It's
about
the nuclear family thing. It's a lot of it is religion.
Oh, it is. Yeah, traditional family, because they'll say adopt, but then, and I hate to say this, they'll have no problem with your cousin because your cousin and his wife are a heterosexual white cisgendered couple. Would they be as rowdy if they were, I don't know, a biracial, different genders, you know, and identity? I don't know. But, you know, it is not as easy as you think it is.
No.
And if it's not easy for what you would think would be like a slam dunk of a case, which is what I feel like your cousin probably falls into.
They're the best humans. They are financially stable. They're just the greatest people.
But they got to go through
when
some
When they
work.
Called and said, it's hard. I mean, he did say they are $7,000 in already. This crowdfunding is not coming before they make the decision. They $7,000 in.
Putting their own cash in, right?
And we will be posting this, and, you know, we've donated, and I mean, it is, It is just, it's fast. Again, it's fascinating this to me. These are the closest people to me to ever do this. And the process is crazy.
This is just my thought, because now he's going to have, and I know this family member, I love him dearly. He's a great guy. He's an analytical guy. I love the way he sees the world.
Yeah.
I feel like he has to, at some point in time, once both these kids are, you know, here and they're older and he can talk to them, he's got to deduct this cost from their inheritance. I feel like he's going to look at the first one and go, you were IVF. This is how much you cost me. You were an adoption. This is how much you cost me. You were supposed to inherit this. You are going to inherit that.
I say the kids are in their 20s. He has a couple of beers with them and says, guess what?
He's like, I just want you to know this is why. You owe your motherfucking existence to me.
But
you know?
Just overall, like when they told me this, I didn't know how to... They said something like, they said, like, it almost feels selfish. And I said, it is the exact opposite.
What feels selfish?
Like adopting a kid and crowdfunding. And
adopting a kid and crowdfunding.
And
is
I said,
that
it is
selfish?
The most, I said, you're doing one of the most selfless things. You are literally offering to be responsible for, nurture, care for another person's child for the rest of their lives. Like, it is so selfless. But it was just interesting to hear. That's another reason they, you know, counselors are needed, because there's a lot of emotions that come with this.
Yeah. And it you know, of course, this is just my bleeding heart coming out. But I mean, this is the part where I'm like, listen, all you people that scream about, you know, birth and adoption and all this, this is the number one problem. I mean, you know, this is the...
There's a lot of people who would love to adopt
there's
who
no
simply
access.
Can't afford it, and there's no access. Yeah.
And I don't even know the situations of this, but I did learn through watching that Andrew Schultz podcast with Pete Buttigieg, that Pete learned that there are different, I guess like anything, there's different demand.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you think about a car, you know, it's probably like, you know, a regular Chevy that you can get on any lot. And then there's some Lamborghini where there's only like 17 released around the world. Those ones are a little bit more rare. So, of course, you're going to wait a year and a half for that Lamborghini. Or you can walk down to the corner to Joe's Chevrolet and pick you up a brand new Cavalier.
Well, because there are different challenges that come with adopting different children. And I have seen that with the people I care about in my life that have been adopted or have adopted. My friend who was adopted, he could have never told me and I would have never have known. He, Caucasian guy adopted by Caucasian parents.
Yeah.
Never even thought to ask the question. It never occurred to me. If he wouldn't have told me, I would never have known. Our other friends who adopted have a child with a completely different skin color.
Yeah.
And they have had the problem of, I think they said in an airport once, they had the issue of somebody didn't, they're like, well, you're not his mother.
Yeah. They didn't believe that they were the parents.
Those are different sets of challenges when you adopt.
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't want to say that there's a preference, but there obviously is, because we hear about people going to certain spots in the world.
Yeah.
Remember who did that? Madonna. Didn't Madonna, like Madonna for a while got hot, her and like Angelina Jolie. They're just like going around the world, like adopting babies.
Yeah.
And it has to bring up the question, well, then it's obviously easier.
Yes.
In some places. Which I don't know if that's culture. I don't know if that's race. I definitely know it's gender in some countries.
Yeah.
That's just a flat out fact where females are not as valued, can we say, as males are. But that's like the even more fucked up part that like, I'm like, oh gosh. Like, I mean, that's like a whole nother layer that I don't think any of us really want to even talk about.
No, there, because it's an onion. Like,
it is an onion.
The more you peel back, the more it starts to stink. It is crazy. It is not surface easy as it seems on the surface.
But I don't think, they shouldn't feel, what'd you say, embarrassed or not, they felt,
A little bit of all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like,
I told them not to, but of course, I'm like, I'm not going to tell you how to feel, but I don't think you have to feel that way.
I mean, you're not crowdfunding for a fucking salad or something.
No.
And, you know, to be honest, you're not someone who, let's just take a fictitious character that is someone who's already terrible with their money, been evicted from a million places, and now they're crowdfunding because they just need $1,000 to get into a new apartment, right? You know you're probably throwing your money into a lost cause. I mean, they're obviously doing something that is is honorable in our society. They're going to be helping and benefiting a child's life. So people will feel good. You know, and I'm sure there's someone who cruises GoFundMe and probably just throws
for the good stuff,
$5, $10 at a time into them. And I maybe that makes you feel good about your life.
So like I said, they are $7,000 in. Oh, and this, we have put the goal at $50,000 because it can cost $40,000 or
that
more.
That tax write-off, can you write off that baby?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm currently doing our taxes that were already due a couple weeks ago. And I was hoping to wait long enough till the IRS just fired everybody.
I know. You know, I thought the IRS, I'm like, it's going to just dissolve, so don't bother.
Which, who knows? By like this morning, Trump already cut off like Sesame Street and PBS.
I know.
So I think by the end of the week, the IRS could be closed. But in case.
Just in case we still have to pay our taxes.
I am working through our taxes. And if you're telling me for next year, I can get a retroactive.
Write off.
Well, I put the solar panels up for the same reason.
I can't.
We have one kid shuffling out of the house. If you're saying I can bring in a good, I'm losing a dependent. Okay.
I don't know if adopting a child is a write off, but your charitable donation to a couple who is adopting is a tax write off.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.